Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Hello and welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, where we explore some of the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
I'm Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Damian Sassauer.
We're talking baseball. Yeah, I know the Astros
the season's
just
over.
Won. Yeah, but you know what? It's never too early, one, to shop for the holidays, and two, to talk about baseball, which is what we're going to do. MLB Network insider J.P. Morosi, thank you so much for joining us here on the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Michael, it's my pleasure. You have such a great show, and there is no such thing as the baseball off season, merely the second season. So we just transition quicker. Of course, we're well into the general manager's meetings here in Las Vegas.
That's right. You're at the GM meetings there in Vegas. You can tell us what's going on out there. We won't tell anybody.
What's the tea?
Oh, sure. So, I'll say this. My own personal routine is, I'm in bed by 8:30, so there's not much happening for me socially here, I could say, in Las Vegas. But I tell you what, this is a very exciting week because we're starting to see now the conversation around free agency trades coming off of what I thought was an electrifying World Series and postseason. Dusty Baker finally getting his long-awaited World Series championship as a manager.
And the Houston Astros do it again! 2022 World Series champions!
We saw ratings go up, really some of the highs we've seen in recent years. So there was a lot of excitement. Some teams that hadn't been in the playoffs in a while, Seattle and their 21-year drought, the Phillies and their drought of more than 10 years and make it all the way to the World Series. So it was a very exciting World Series that now, I think, rolls right into what's going on.
Let's get to the free agency storylines that we are worried about. And since we're based in New York, we got to go with Aaron Judge. Is he going to stay with the Yankees?
Hit in the air to deep right. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. It is a Judgian blast.
That's the first question. Give us a sense of what the discussion is like in Vegas. And also, Shohei Ohtani.
What's the sticker price?
Yeah, but Shohei Ohtani, who of course was also a contender for MVP, but on a team that doesn't really look like it's going anywhere.
Swings at this one and drives a ball deep into center field. It's going to get out of here! Ohtani with a three-run shot.
What's going to happen with him?
First and foremost on Aaron Judge, I do believe his agents are here on the ground meeting with teams. It's been a quiet beginning to the free agent conversations from their perspective. I would expect that Aaron Judge will make his decision sometime next month around the winter meetings. That's the next big benchmark of the offseason. We'll see in December when he makes his decision. I would expect that he'll be the AL MVP, and that'll certainly be announced next week. But I think in general, there is probably about a 50-50 chance of him staying in New York, just given the amount of interest that he's going to get specifically from the Giants.
Are you grouping the Mets with the Yankees
right
there?
Now, well, I do think the Giants might find a way to offer him more money because, of course, they've been looking for a superstar for a long time. He is from Northern California. So there's that hometown dynamic. I really think the Giants are going to be the toughest competitor to the Yankees, and I would expect that they're going to offer him right up around the same range of perhaps $40 million a year, which is where I think his market is likely to go. It's maybe not going to be as many years as we saw Bryce Harper and Manny Machado get in the past, but I think the per year salary will be higher. Meanwhile, Shohei Ohtani, the Angels GM, Perry Minasian, said in recent days that Ohtani is not going to be traded this offseason. I would expect that's going to be a very important news there for the Angels that he's going to stay put.
So, you know, last year, I mean, you mentioned, you know, Aaron Judge's agents being in town. Last year, there's only, and again this year, I think, there's only one agent that matters, and that's Scott Boras, you know? I mean, last year, he literally controlled the winter meetings, and now again, if I'm not mistaken, Xander Bogaerts, Correa, Carlos Rodon. Talk to us about what Scott Boras is doing out there and, you know, who he's talking to.
I think Scott will be in contact with just about every team, as he typically is, and especially in the year in which he has a lot of the top players available, as you allude to, with Xander Bogaerts, Carlos Correa, Carlos Rodon at the top of the list. When Scott is able to have his connections to multiple positional groups, he really is able to wield extraordinary influence over the proceedings of Major League Baseball. And as you allude to, last offseason, we saw the Max Scherzer deal. You go back to several off seasons ago now when he had Steven Strasburg, Anthony Rendon, Garrett Cole. This is a normal type of offseason for Scott in that he has a lot of influence and a lot of high-dollar, high-talent clients. So I think Carlos Correa, for me, to me, Damien, is the player that I'm watching the most right now aside from Aaron Judge.
Fly ball left field and deep. Back it goes. Deep it goes and gone. Carlos Correa, there's his signature moment. Biggest swing as a Twin. A go-ahead eighth inning two-run homer.
Because, remember, he was the key shortstop for the Houston Astros a year ago in the World Series, and then he leaves to go to the Minnesota Twins and watches as his former teammates win the World Series with his successor, Jeremy Peña, at shortstop, winning World Series MVP honors. That's a tough breakup in the parlance of everyday life, and I think that Carlos Correa, who's always been very motivated, always has loved the spotlight, will arrive to his new team, wherever it is, with a profound sense of unfinished business and a strong desire to show that he, in fact, is the preeminent shortstop in Major League Baseball beginning next season.
It really feels like the GM meetings and, of course, the winter meetings, Michael Barr, is the Scott Boras show. I, for one, want to be Scott Boras' intern so I can learn something about about making a deal.
Why stop there? I'm going to be Scott Boras.
But you've got to learn from the master himself first.
I mean, see, you talk about the mega agent. The first name that comes out, which brings me to this point, you've made it when you have a tax name after you. So when you got the Cohen tax going, it's big. But here's the problem, and people in New York have said this over and over again. The Mets spent all this money and they didn't get as far as this. And then the Yankees, they spent all this money and they didn't get anywhere to this. So here's the question. And then you look at the Phillies, and the Phillies are like, hey, look at us. Do you have to spend all that money to have a team that can compete?
No, you don't. I think that to win the World Series, it certainly helps to have stars. And we've seen, if you look at the National League side of the playoff bracket, both the Padres and Phillies have GMs who are more aggressive than the average GM. Dave Dombrowski in Philadelphia, A.J. Preller in San Diego. I do think that the zeitgeist for many years in Major League Baseball has become one of caution, one of deliberate pace of action, and sometimes being the outlier who's ready to make a move actually is maybe the new competitive advantage. The competitive advantage, Michael, is doing things. And whether it's a high-dollar signing or a savvy trade, Dave Dombrowski has done that. A.J. Preller has done that. James Click in Houston over the last 3 years has shown a willingness to make some savvy trades. Maybe not necessarily the highest dollar moves, but he's done some things that I think are very creative. And he's extended some of his core players as well. That, to me, is now, as you look at the big picture, the willingness to make the move is one of those key attributes of the successful GMs. You look at Brian Cashman in New York. In retrospect, he probably should have signed Manny Machado. He probably should have signed Bryce Harper, one of the two of them. Instead, he committed to the young core, names of players that are really no longer part of the Yankees roster. Clint Frazier, Miguel Andujar. You have to know when the time is right to pay for the truly special talent. And I think, to your point, to circle back to Steve Cohen, he has to make a decision. Does he allocate his money to trying to sign Aaron Judge away from the Yankees or to bring back Jacob DeGrom, who is brilliant when he's on the mound? But, Michael, he's only pitched about 150 or 160 innings in the last 2 years. I think that is a part of the Mets calculus now going forward. Would you rather have Judge or DeGrom?
I was going to say, you should have seen Scarlett's nose flare when
money,
you said,
Scarlett.
You know.
It's only money.
It's only money, exactly.
Right?
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicolaus and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
So JP, you know, I mean, I don't know if you were able to catch it, but you missed out on a $1.9 billion lottery here in New York. You know, the Mega Millions. You know, there's another lottery right coming up at the end of this year. There's a Major League Baseball draft lottery, the first one ever at the winter meetings in San Diego. Can you talk to us a little bit about that? What can we expect and how's it going to be run?
And hopefully there won't be a technical issue.
Well, I'll say this. First of all, Damian, even if I had won the Mega Million, I would still have come on the show.
That's great. I wouldn't be here.
I promise you, I still would have done this interview. So the second part is the draft lottery. I think it's actually a pretty exciting addition to MLB's schedule. First of all, it puts the amateur draft more front and center than it typically is. And second of all, it removes the sort of quote-unquote tanking incentive that has existed in baseball for a while, to where if you're less sure that by losing 110 games, whatever it might be, that you're assured of getting the top spot in the draft, you might be more inclined to try to put a more competitive team on the field, especially at a time when the number of teams making the playoffs is expanding. And I would point out that the National League representative in the World Series, the Phillies, was the team that had the lowest seed among the playoff teams. So I think that the draft lottery, Damian, is a really nice innovation. It incentivizes a higher level of competition, as does the current playoff structure, which I think overall is a win for baseball. It gets more fan bases engaged with the sport. So I think it's going to be one new part of the winter meetings that I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
I think one thing that I think about also when you talk about the meetings, you know, with the GMs meeting all this, are they just simply going to talk about the game itself? As in, we got to, like, okay, are we really going to do this pitch clock thing? Are we really going to do that? Are we thinking about, having a more, best way I can describe it, keeping the umpire behind home plate, not having.
Right.
You know where I'm getting at in terms of, and just go all metric with the strikes and balls. Is that something that's going to come up in these meetings?
Sure. I think that there is a larger discussion about rule changes. We know that there are some rule changes that definitively, yes, are going to happen for 2023. The pitch clock is one of them. The banning of the shift is another really important one.
Yay.
By the way, we've also seen, Michael, we've also already seen the positive dynamics of the universal DH, because had it not been for the universal DH, Bryce Harper would not have been playing this season because he couldn't throw. So we're seeing already the impact of the universal DH in a positive way. The umpire, the automated strike zone, that is not going to happen in Major League Baseball next year. It's more of a longer-term conversation. I do think in general that the banning of the shift, Michael, will bring us closer to the game that we all fell in love with, where Ozzie Smith was playing where a shortstop plays and then makes a dynamic athletic play. That play has been taken out of the game because the shortstop has been positioned elsewhere. And this has resulted in, honestly, a lot of frustrated at-bats for fans and for players, because what used to be a hit for 100 years was no longer a hit. So I think overall, yes, some of those rule changes are being talked about, the finer points of what it means, how it looks on the field. But rest assured, MLB has studied these rule changes in detail over a period of years. And I think based on the way things have gone up until this point, the DH change being one of them, I think I'm willing to give a lot of trust to MLB. The pitch-com, the way the communications have worked to lower the amount of time that we've seen in games this past year, a lot of the innovations have had their desired effect, and I'm willing to give the decision makers the benefit of the doubt to see what happens here in 2023.
Well, John, that creaking that you heard was me shaking my head up and down, because I hate the shift, and I'm hoping that they get rid of that thing, because I want to go back to the old Ozzie Smith days.
I just want the game to be less than 4 hours. JP, I got to ask you about Yoshida. He's the star of Masataka Yoshida out of Japan, two-time batting champion of the Nippon Professional Baseball's Pacific League. But he is maybe coming to the U.S. to play for MLB. What's the story?
Yes. So Yoshida is one of the top hitters in Japan right now, and he has spoken with his the decision makers at his club, the Oryx Buffaloes, who just won their first Japan series in 26 years, to express his desire to be posted, which means that if he does move to an MLB club this offseason, that the Buffaloes would receive a compensation payment for losing his services. He has won a gold medal for Japan now at the Olympics, at the Premier 12 tournament. He's now won the Japan series. He's won the batting title. There are not a lot of things left for Yoshida to achieve in Japan until he wants that next highest challenge, and that would be playing in Major League Baseball. The Yankees, by the way, are one team that I've heard are heavily involved in his pursuit. They like what he does as a table setter atop the lineup. They need to have more left-handed bats. His skill set, I think, is really appealing. He does hit for some power, but he is also just a brilliant contact hitter. I think he would be a tremendous player with the Yankees or a great many other teams in baseball, but it does appear right now that things are trending toward him being available. Also, I would mention Kodai Senga, the longtime ace of the SoftBank Hawks. He is now an international free agent and is expected to make a move to Major League Baseball in 2023 with the Mariners and Blue Jays among the teams that will be courting Kodai Senga's services as well.
Let me talk to you about, it's not too early to look ahead to next year, right? So if you look at the Major League Baseball futures market, it looks a lot similar to the way we entered 2022, right? The Dodgers are the favorite to win. Houston's in second. Atlanta's up there. You know, talk to us about, you know, your feeling as we head. I know it's still early. What are you thinking as we head to 2023? Is that right? Does Vegas have it right there?
Well, I think that in general, the Dodgers are always a wise pick. Because they're in the playoffs every year, it seems. If I was looking for a sleeper, a team that I think could get better quickly, that was maybe a middle-of-the-pack type of a team this year, I would look at Seattle, who of course, finally ended their playoff drought.
Here's the pitch of the way, swinging a high drive into the gap in right center field. Grisham going back to the one. He tracked to the wall. This one is gone. Goodbye, baseball. The Mariners have hit more home runs than any team in the American League here in the second half of the season.
I think they're one or two players away from being very close to the level of the Astros, and I think they're going to be aggressive. So I would say Seattle's a team to watch that maybe is a bit underrated right now.
Interesting.
And then the White Sox. The White Sox were, to put it mildly, dysfunctional this past year, and they have a new manager in Pedro Grifol, who I think is going to do an outstanding job there. If they can stay healthy and just be a bit more organized, which I believe they will be, they're a very dangerous team. I love what Cleveland does, youngest team in baseball. They're in the same division, the American League Central, but I like Chicago's chances to put it all together. And I'm not saying that they're going to be the favorites to win the World Series. I just think they're probably undervalued right now in the futures market. So I would say take a look there at Seattle and the White Sox as you consider your options for 2023.
Is there a team on the move right now in terms of, well, mom, dad has been real, but I got to split and I got to go to another city?
Maybe the city that he's in right now.
Yeah, I was. See how that tied.
That's a professional transition right there, Michael. Well done, my friend.
Okay,
well done.
We'll go with that. Is there any team out there that really has a strong chance of coming out to Vegas?
Well, it's hard for me to gauge exactly percentage chances of the Oakland Athletics relocating, but the conversation around it has become more serious and a little more urgent with respect to Oakland needing to show a shovel in the ground and a real direction of where a new ballpark would be and construction dates. Obviously, as we know, in California, a lot of environmental impact and land use impacts have to be considered. There is a new city government coming into office now in the city of Oakland following last night's elections. So there are some political dynamics to be aware of, and then obviously the larger land use and land acquisition dynamics to be aware of. And it does appear that, to me, the clock is ticking on Oakland. The commissioner has left open the possibility and allowed the Athletics to evaluate sites in Las Vegas. We know now that with the success of the Golden Knights and the Raiders that professional sports and on the major league level work in Las Vegas. The community here is certainly growing in its appetite for pro sports. And so I do think by this time next year, we will have greater clarity on where the A's are going to play. It's not in the next couple weeks, I don't think, or the next couple months, but in general, there is a much greater urgency there for the A's to find a solution. I do think the Tampa Bay Rays seem to have more options available to them in Florida, to stay in Florida, than the A's do right now urgently in Oakland. And I do think, based on the commissioner's comments, while there's been no decision made yet, that the A's face greater urgency in the next year to put a shovel in the ground on what their new address is going to be. And if that hasn't happened a year from now, I do think Las Vegas becomes a much more actionable site for Major League Baseball going forward. Because the baseball does want to expand eventually to 32 teams, and they simply cannot do that while the long-term futures of both the Rays and the Athletics are still to be decided.
John Morosi, MLB Network reporter. Now, you can watch across the network's programming all offseason, and that includes its daily morning show, Hot Stove, 9 a.m. Eastern Time. John, you are the man. You always lay the knowledge on us, and we really do appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Michael, Scarlett, Damian, it was a great pleasure for me, and I wish you all the best with the great show that you do every day. I'm a loyal listener as well, so keep it going.
Thanks, JP. Thanks a lot.
You are the man.
Take care now. This has been the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, where we explore some of the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
I'm Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Damian Sassauer.
You can download this podcast and all of our podcasts, because they air Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcast.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV+.